This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Friday.
It is Friday, and welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and it is a fabulous Willamette Valley day, so welcome, friends. We are going to talk to you today about a variety of topics, and we're going to invite your calls today because it seems like our hours go by very quickly when we have a guest today. Today, we're going to wrap up some of the topics of the week in conversations that we've had with the mayor, with the CEO of the Salem Area Chamber, what's coming up next week, and, of course, the bridge issue. If you'd like to weigh in on what's happening, what we're talking about, 503-393-1430 is the number for the studio call-in line, 503-393-1430. So many things to talk about on the national stage that affect us locally.
Yes.
Of course, the state legislature, huge. Cap and trade bill was exposed. The 98-page bill is out, and people are trying to digest it now. I'd like to talk during this hour what that's going to mean for us when that passes, because I don't think anybody's doubting that it will, but of course, Winter Brew Fest, something fun that we had Jason Unruh on Monday, and I took it up his invitation and showed up last night, so that was fun.
Did you get to play cornhole?
I threw a couple of bags.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm very, very impressive, as you can imagine. And I'm walking by. This is funny because a couple of college kids were there that I know, one of which I'm related to. And so I'm walking by this cornhole at the Winter Brew Fest we're talking about across the street from the Capitol.
Yeah.
And it was fun seeing for a Thursday night. You know, there's live music and some food and lots of things to taste. And so I'm walking by, and this young lady looks at me and says, Do you have any hints? Can you tell me how to do this? She's holding the sandbag and she's like, has no clue. I'm like, you know what? Let me find you a coach. So I went over.
Really?
I brought over.
You're a coach.
I brought over one of the college kids.
Oh, my goodness.
Give her a little hint. And
Why did you do that?
Well, I wanted to find somebody who was more talented than I.
What?
Right? So I didn't.
How hard is it?
Well, I had somebody right at hand. I had a couple of college boys that play this and, you know, in between classes. And so anyway, people were having a good time, and there was the tournament. And we'll have to tell Jason Unruh of the Hoopla organization that next year spike ball. And
ooh,
that's
going to be fun. Yeah.
Bust it up. So I know a lot of people listening. They're like, what the heck is spike ball? And they're playing on college campuses all over the place. So you just imagine one of those exercise trampolines and put steroids into this game with like a four square we played as kids. And they're slamming this ball in here. It's very fast-paced. Reflexes have to be crazy, but it's a lot of fun.
And how far away are those trampolines? How far away?
Oh, you're right there. You're standing in front of them. There's four people around them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's four trampolines or just one?
Oh, there's one. There's four individuals.
Four players playing teams. Around the, okay, now I got it in my head.
All right.
I was trying to imagine like four people, four trampolines, like hundreds of yards apart.
So there are other things going on we're going to hopefully get to during the hour. I want to talk about civility in discourse in our community and nationwide because Tom Hoffert brought it up yesterday.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't have time to dive into things that really need fleshed out. So we'll talk about that and how it relates to how the city council is behaving. And, of course, some of the human interest things in the community. We're talking about the warming shelters that are a necessity as temperatures plummet here going into February. And the sobering center, which is a good topic. And hopefully these things will have the mayor address again on Tuesday, or we'll have the police chief come in and give us an update on that. So Super Bowl. It is Super Bowl weekend.
It is.
So
we can
watch.
Say that, but not in an advertisement.
Right. I'm not advertising, but I'm just wondering if you're going to watch the big show on Sunday.
The big show. Yes, I am.
Do you have a favorite?
Of course.
Do you have?
Patriots.
Oh, Patriots. Yeah. It's all Patriots.
Been Patriots since 2001.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, and do you think they're going to win?
Yes.
Yes. I happen to think so, too. I don't have a big stake in the matter.
It'll be a good game, though.
It'll be a good game.
It'll be a good game.
Tight game. I think the wise old coach and the experienced quarterback are going to win out over the young upstart coach who's incredibly talented.
Yes, he is.
And the young quarterback is incredibly talented.
He's going to be a little starstruck, but I think with all the mistakes that the NFL made with the game before with the Rams, I think that they're going to be like extra cautious on all the plays. If there's any doubt, they're going to review it. It could be a long game.
They should have an emergency order that we're going to review anything that the booth wants to have reviewed.
Yeah. All right. We'll refer back to New York to have them review it. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so just to get you fired up, the bridge work session. The work session was Thursday.
This is becoming
Wednesday night.
A thorn in my side. And it should be with everyone, actually.
It should be. Yeah. And that's really the question of why is it we are not at torches and pitchforks kind of rioting. It's embarrassing and it's frightening, actually. So the work session, nothing's been decided. So, however, it's going to be at the first council meeting, first Monday of February. So the work session was a stall tactic by the progressive bloc on city council to push it into this year where they thought they'd have it yet another vote.
You said February, the first February or the second? I think it's the second Monday in February, February 11th.
Yes.
Okay. That's when they're planning on doing
There'll be a vote and whether or not they're going to answer the questions that was remanded to them by the state agency, the Land Use Board of Appeals. And so they have the power basically to kill the whole thing. So the question is to the listener is, are you going to weigh in? Are you going to tell people, you know, you need to build infrastructure for the next generation? Or are you going to listen to a sliver of the political spectrum that's against the internal combustion engine, against personal vehicles, and want to create gridlock as a matter of public policy? So at the work session, they get a history of the effort.
Mm-hmm.
They get a history of who was involved, what conversations, what was considered over these 12 and 13 years, how much money was spent. And here's the linchpin. They flat out asked, Councilor Kaser said, hey, if we do nothing and somebody or a council in the future wants to bring it up again, do they have to start from square one? Yes.
Wow.
Now they know that. It's definitively told as if they didn't know before.
Right.
But it's now in public forum. They said, do you have to throw away the $8 or $9 million? Do you have to throw away the 12 or 13 years? And the answer was yes. You'll have to start from square one and start the federal land use and transportation environmental impact statement all over again. 503-393-1430 if you want to join the conversation or weigh in on this. Although I'd rather you called your city councilor.
Right.
And
or go to the meeting.
And it's not like they're going to listen. And it is the arrogance. It is the smug arrogance that goes along with, well, I'm sitting here now, so I have the power to kill this, and I'm going
to
do it.
What happened to representing the people? That was why they were voted to represent the people in the city, right?
Well, again, good question, Dave.
Yeah,
good question,
you.
Dave.
Yeah.
It goes back to one of the things that
Tom
Hoffert said yesterday on air about conversations in the community need to be civil and they need to be inclusive.
Yes.
All right. So my argument, and I'll make this argument after the break, is that our current city council is not at all inclusive, right?
They're just doing what they want?
So the question... They're not at all inclusive. I'm going to let that hang out there.
Okay.
All right, let's come back. Let's take a little break. We'll come back, and I'll explain what I mean and put some meat behind that. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne. We talk about local issues and topics and institutions and ideas individuals here affecting the Willamette Valley, your pocketbook and your quality of life. A lot of topics to try to hit today on this wonderful Friday. We're talking a little bit about, and I don't want to dive too much in the bridge because we will be talking about it with the mayor on Tuesday. And we're going to be talking about it certainly as it gets up to the vote. However, the conversation I started last has to do with civility and inclusiveness in the conversation. Mm-hmm. So, inclusiveness. So I would argue that the Kearney City Council, with their progressive moniker,
this is really the Salem City Council.
Salem City Council.
Okay.
That they're representing a small percentage of the population. So, and they would argue, well, we weren't included and blah, blah, blah. And this, and I've talked briefly about this in the past, but the thing is, when you go through a public process, whether it's the siting of a police facility mm-hmm. or a transportation bond measure or even a school bond measure, any of these things, you go through a public process of input. The people whose views do not prevail should stop fighting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you get in, you just prolong it, and we can't move the community forward. So you need to be able to lose. Okay, your view did not prevail. Okay, so now we've been 12 or 13 years into this process, and maybe where they would put a bridge, the extent of the bridge, the extent of the infrastructure, all these things that didn't prevail in this seven jurisdiction, you know, decade-long process. Oh, well, we're going to go walk door to door and hammer, and we're going to be in power, and we're going to fold our arms and say, hey, we're sitting here now. And never mind Dallas, never mind Independence, Monmouth, never mind Silverton, never mind, you know, the ODOT, everything else.
And 9 million. Yeah. 9 million.
So here's the question, Dave.
Yeah.
Let's say you have a huge number of people in the community really passionate about, say, bike lanes or park systems or, you know, you kind of pick at the library.
Right.
Huge. Where they're showing up, they're advocating, they're talking, and maybe it's 25% of the population and they're vocal. And I think a city council should listen to them. Right? They should listen. And say they're sitting at city council and you don't ride a bike and you couldn't care less about bike lanes.
Right.
But you have a lot of people in your community that do, and they want bike infrastructure or they want more neighborhood parks. And you're hearing about it and the community's passionate about it. And even if it's 25% of the community, that's a big chunk, right?
Right. You should be listening to everyone,
Don't you think a representative city council should listen to that huge chunk of the population, even if it's a minority?
Yes.
You agree? Good. Well, what if it's 77%?
So then they should be voting that way.
Well, we've got six people on city council that don't give a darn what 77%. And that's where the arrogant smugness sits. That's where Tom Anderson and the Tommytrons are just going their way. And like, you talking about, is that inclusive? You know, I'm going to exclude 3/4 of Salem. I'm going to say almost 80% of Salem. That is not listening to the community whatsoever, and they don't deserve to be sitting in the seat. So there's two reasons I say that, and that's harsh, and I don't usually yell and get all fired up.
But good thing you're on the other side of the room there.
They don't deserve sitting in the seat. I've mentioned it before. If you're not planning for infrastructure, be it water or public safety or transportation, if you're not planning your infrastructure for the next generation, you should not be sitting in the city council seat and planning for the next generation. Also, if you're not listening to what the public wants and you're arrogantly defying what the public wants, you should not be sitting in that seat. It's the first time I'm going to use this word, and it scares me to even say it out loud. But if this goes down later this month, there will definitely be people talking about a recall.
Oh, yeah.
How could you not?
Guaranteed.
I mean, it'd be very, very expensive and very, very divisive, but people who are less than 5% of the population cannot prevail here. That start over question. They want us. They want to basically kill it for their generation, for their lifetime, and not have another river crossing. All right. Anyway,
raised my blood pressure. You know that, right?
That's my job. 503-393-1430. It is the topic, really, of this era. It is the topic. It's a generational conversation. And, you know, it's in the news. Please pick up your Statesman Journal, your Salem Reporter, learn what you can. Go to the city council meeting if you're unfamiliar. All right, you're listening to Newsmakers. We're talking about local topics. Next week, by the way, we've got a deputy chief, Steve Belshaw, is coming on.
Mm-hmm.
And also the Main Street Association. I've been asking this for a while because I'm a big downtown proponent. Love downtown. I love the history of downtown. I like shopping downtown. I like the newfound resurgence, people living downtown, the diversity of food downtown, and all that great stuff. So Dane is going to join us. He is the manager of the Salem Center, actually, but he serves a dual role in leading the Main Street Association. So that's coming up next week. And, of course, on Tuesday, we're going to have the mayor.
Yeah.
So there won't be any city council meetings in the interim, but I'm sure we'll have some updates on some of these topics. So I mentioned at the top of the hour a couple of these topics that are important to what's going on. There's the warming center, and temperatures are frigid. And
possibility of snow Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Snow in the valley potentially. And that's downright scary when you're talking about people dying. We're talking about real human beings dying. Yeah. They're outside. So it does require volunteers. So I know for the warming shelters, 19 volunteers takes every night. You have to have a volunteer, nobody getting paid to welcome the people into the warming shelter. Community Action Agency, I believe, is spearheading that. So if you're listening and you want to do something about it, you look into that. And the other thing I don't know a lot about, except that it's been stalled a little bit, is the sobering center.
So we've heard about that.
Yeah. So, and the police are involved in this, and on its surface, I'm favorable.
Is that another thing the city council has to deal with?
It's something we have to deal with in terms of, it involves the Salem police.
Okay.
So definitely city government. And the initiative is basically to save some money in treatment and allowing people to come down off their high, get sober from their alcohol, rather than take them to jail, rather than take them to the emergency room, which we know how expensive that is for society.
And booked up.
So, sometimes when you say the title, people might have a negative reaction to it. But hey, if we're taking people that are not committing crimes and just need a chance to get straight, mm-hmm. I'd rather them do that than crowd the jails. Crowd the jails and increase the capacity such that we can't put a real criminal in.
Right.
Or a violent criminal in.
Or release them.
Exactly. So that's a topic. If you know something about us, give it a call. 503-393-1430. But I think it's a good idea on its surface. We have to find a better way to keep people out of the emergency room.
Now, it's been proposed. Is there a mechanism to help pay for it?
So now you're diving into things that we need, to find the facility and to pay for the facility and the services.
Okay.
So that's going to be the part of the conversation.
I'd like to hear more about that.
We'll dive into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good. We heard from Salem Health when we had him on as a guest.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago, and how expensive it is. And some regulations are jaw-dropping, and you wonder, what? And it sounds like one of those dumb government regulation stories. But Salem Health has an emergency room, of course, and people go to the emergency room, and then two short blocks away, there's urgent care.
Right.
And there could be no wait potentially at the urgent care and a 3 and 4 hour wait in the emergency room. They are not permitted to tell them there's urgent care 2 blocks away. You don't even have to wait. Right.
Increase the signage, maybe? Make a bigger sign?
They're not permitted to tell people. And that's one of those, what? Because people are literally sitting there in this emergency room, and maybe they have, an infection. Maybe they mm-hmm. need some stitches. Maybe they need antibiotics. But it's something that could easily be treated without all of the infrastructure that an emergency room has, emergency department.
Right.
And people are getting kicked out of queue because on the back end of the building, ambulances are coming in with heart attacks and, some really acute needs. And they're getting kicked out of the queue, and they're waiting. They could go right 2 blocks over and get service a lot quicker. And the reason for that is historical. We were told in terms of hospitals trying to kick people down the road.
Yeah, it was a federal mandate that they have to take them, right? An emergency room.
As a community, hopefully we can do a better job and continue to beat the drum. Hey, go to urgent care. There's some private urgent cares in town. We've utilized them in my family.
Yeah, I've used them too. They're great.
In West Valley, you have the West Valley Hospital, and their emergency room is easier. And even we have Santa Memorial, like a Silverton Hospital, but the Salem Hospital that is the center, that's really taxed. And it's the most expensive way by far to provide health care. So anyway, that's on soapbox for that. There's so many community conversations that helps, and hopefully Newsmakers helps to get the word out.
Maybe we'll have to have her back on and explain how they can utilize that urgent care more.
Yes, or what we can do, what the community can do.
Maybe so a handmade sign, go to urgent care, put it on their front lawn.
So at the legislature, a couple of things that let's talk about in coming up. And the cap and trade bill, and if you're not familiar with that, we're going to touch the surface, and then we're going to find a legislator to come on the air and explain it to everybody.
No, really?
So cap and trade has to do with carbon emissions.
Right.
It has to do with capping carbon. As my understanding is, we want to cap it at like 1993 levels or below and tax people that are emitting more carbon. By people, I mean companies, institutions, and people who are using carbon emission generating energies.
Wait.
What?
Do these people not realize that we're carbon? People are carbon. It reminds me of Soylent Green. I mean, come on. People are carbon.
I'm old enough to know that reference.
Exactly. Yeah, but everybody... people are carbon. And that the fact that they're trying to tax it, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous!
It's the fossil fuels, and
still,
so tax,
we are cleaner now than. Did you read this recently? Washington State is getting rid of their DEQ.
No.
Yes, the cars are so emission low right now that it's not even worth running them. They're closing them down by 2020.
Wow! And when you do that, unfortunately,
which is next year.
I'll tell you, somebody used to have DEQ permits. That's the Department of Environmental Quality. I would rather deal with the Oregon DEQ every day of the year than the feds.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So, DEQ.
But the fact that they're closing theirs down in Washington State, they should be doing it here, too.
Interesting. And so, anyway, the cap and trade is going to touch every Oregonian, right? Every Oregonian. The low income, the high income. Your gasoline prices, what it costs to heat your home, everything that's going to touch us all. So there's cap and trade. We'll try to explain that just a little bit in the next segment. Also talk about guns and the legislation that's going to come through our state legislature and how it might be affected by what's going on the national level. Sound good?
Oh, boy.
All right, so stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is also brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center. All right, Brent. Cap and trade.
Cap and trade. So the concept is, and this is the problem, because it's really revenue. It's going to be taxation. It's revenue to the state, and they're going to put the money where they want to put it. So we actually have a caller, Ronnie Daniels out of Polk County. He's going to weigh in on a cap and trade. Maybe he can educate us a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, Ronnie.
You with us?
Yes, I am. How you guys doing, Brent?
Excellent. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you a little history on cap and trade. Arnold Schwarzenegger started in that little state to the south of us called Love B2, cut it 25% in 10 years ago. And they're super legislators of Democrats. Then the far left start implanting their foot in progressives. And they've it's meant to go through and control the way you use your cars, how you go through and use your electricity in your house. So what it does is that basically they set a rate to miss cut by 25%. Open to this year, they set the cut by 25%. That's 10 years. Let me give you the facts. Number one. What it does is it doubles your utility rates based on your usage, what they think that you're supposed to use for your house. So if you got a 1,500-square-foot, a 1,400-square-foot house, I'll use that for example in my best friends in Palm Springs, California area, which is normally about 13, 15 cents a kilowatt-hour up here, can be as much as 60 cents a kilowatt-hour. To keep this house at 80 degrees for 5 months of the year, it costs anywhere from $325 to $450 a month.
Ouch.
I'm going to give you a little fact. Used by from my own area. I grew up in California, built a town called Fontana. We used to produce Kaiser steel, a lot of steel for the West up in the war times and everything else. It's a town of 200,000, still bigger than Eugene and Springville combined.
Mm-hmm.
My foster mom, she's 98. She has a house that's 2,200-square-foot ranch-style house. If she's from Texas, she don't use heat. Her average electric bill is well over $95 to $150 a month. And that's just the basic. Now, if she used if she used AC or she used heat, it can be as high as 225. Okay, it does make a slush fund for because she's 98 years old. They do have utility assistance, so her bill is right around $83 a month in the last 2 months.
All right, she in Fontana, but, is that what you're talking about? We're talking about your mother's house, 2,200
yes,
square feet. It's an average family home. Okay.
But the biggest thing about is this, the price of fuel. Oregon right now in Salem is $2.38 a gallon. You are there is as much as they got 50 cents tax for the Dream Choo-Choo train. That really ain't going to happen down there. Tax alone, just that's just tax. And then the fuel price right now in California is right around $2.99 to $3.50 a gallon. So you can see this is $2.38 a gallon up here at Fred Meyer's. That's a hell of a jump. You know, I'm a flagger. I make sure your utilities goes on for the various companies for and you know make sure everybody's safe and wake at home. If I drive 12,000 miles, which is usually a minimum of flagger in the state to make sure your utility stays together, make sure your highway's safe, and with non-union and everything else, that's $600 extra a year, just that alone.
And fuel costs. That's real money out of people's pockets.
Out of the pocket. And the problem is that it's never the facts in California. We, in the state of Oregon, 5 years ago, in 2015, 4 years ago, a legislative session on a 30 to 28 vote decided to have a DQ mandate to try to get the program started here.
All right,
they
so you're kind of
2% down there, as I said. And the problem is this. It became
all right, Ronnie, hold on a second for
ahead,
me
sir.
Here. You're kind of jumping all over the place from houses to cars to gas tax and this and that.
But
so
let me
bottom line, in cap and trade, you think it's good for Oregon, bad for Oregon, and what will we in the Willamette Valley expect to see if you think, if it's passed?
What I will see, number one, it's bad for Oregon. It'll make us not competitive in many ways. It'll probably drive businesses that would come up here because we do have the cheapest power that we sell to California. So we would lose our marketing and business capabilities in many ways. You will wind up probably having also more homeless problems because if the rent, if that goes up, that means the taxes will go up and it will force people to make decisions and we'll lose good people in the state.
Yeah, you bring up a very good point. Thank
especially
you for the
a
call,
lot of
Ronnie.
Fixed income, too.
It's sometimes this, even good intention. We thank Ronnie for the call, and I have a strange feeling it's not the last time we're going to hear from him. But sometimes even well-intentioned regulation backfires in the unintended consequences.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that with housing and how it is regulation and requirements that drive up the cost of housing and the cost of rents and this and that and now utilities. And then we're going to have, oh my gosh, we've got this crisis. What do we have to do about it? Well, you created the crisis.
Right. So urban growth boundary is one of them.
People can't afford the utilities. Well, that's because you're now taxing their natural gas. And now they can't afford to go to work and the gasoline it takes. Well, that's because the gas tax went up. So all of these things are going to affect our pocketbooks in a real way.
And so, if you're on a fixed income, you know, that's going to really hurt.
Yeah, now that the bill is out, it's 98 pages long. 98 pages long.
Jeez.
And the bill is out and it starts to get digested and it starts to get amended. We'll definitely have on for you guys some lawmakers, some legislators to try to explain it to us.
So
with the one party that's in power.
Yeah.
And
can we see this online?
Oh, I'm sure you can find it online.
Okay.
Start to read the news. But even the early newspaper reports, I mean, the bill just was exposed. So people at the Capitol just figuring it out. And it's not something you can skim. It's going to be in depth.
A little light reading over the weekend.
Yeah. So the things were, and we've had, you know, Senator Winters here and Senator Thatcher here. And, you know, we're trying to get a feel for what's going to happen in this legislative session. And so there are going to be things that are going to affect gun laws and gun restrictions. And, of course, things that touch your pocketbook, things that touch your freedoms and all these things. So we have to be watching this legislative session and what's going to go on. So one of the things that's kind of interesting is, and this is, you know, in the national news, but the U.S. Supreme Court is going to see some cases, and they're going to decide on some cases having to do with gun control.
Really?
So when that happens, and of course we have a different makeup than we had before President Trump took
right,
office.
Yeah.
right? So when that happens, that is going to definitely directly affect what states can do and what they can pass and whether or not the U.S. Supreme Court has already voted on the matter, right? So I think there's a case going on, and it has to be a challenge to a New York restriction. Where you can transport your gun. Can you leave your house with it? Can you transport it from your house to your work? Can you transport it to the gun show? Can you transport it to shooting range? All these things. Anyway,
I thought the Second Amendment took care of all that.
Well, how the Supreme Court interprets the Second Amendment.
See, that's
whether the Second Amendment is up there along with the other rights, whether or not it has equal standing with the other rights that are in the Constitution. That's, you know, watch your Supreme Court cases.
Wow.
Watch your Supreme Court cases and watch the state legislature and how some of the things that they're going to want to propose in terms of how much ammunition may you own. Do you need to register with the state to own a firearm? How many rounds can be in the weapon that you own? And those kinds of restrictions.
Are they trying to make it go back to, you know, the musket? I mean, come on.
I don't know.
I mean, one in the chamber, one in my pocket. I mean, come on.
Indeed. Anyway, we're talking about civil conversations, right? We brought this up the first part of the hour. We mentioned how the city council is not looking after the majority, much less a minority voice.
Right.
Here you have people who ran for office and they feel like the minority voices weren't being heard. So now they're going to not listen to the majority. And it's kind of a Brent thing, but I really am promoting the loss of civility and discourse and the polarization, you know, of our society. So
very political.
And, you know, I don't know. Call me up and tell me I'm old fuddy-duddy or something. But I don't like how degrading our language has become. Now you've got U.S. representatives that feel it's okay to drop the F-bombs, right? It started with Al Franken.
Disrespect. Yeah.
Al Franken is elected as a senator, and he's this foul-mouthed comedian.
Right.
Nothing against your choice of professions, I guess. But you look at his history and his language and this and that, I don't think he has the decorum. I would not take him seriously. I saw something, yet another Hollywood star, you know, complaining about Trump and the national discourse. Well, her response was, this has to blanking stop.
Wow.
I'm like, well, I sure respect your opinion. Is it just me, or is people that throwing in foul mouth words everywhere, even in social media? I was just jaw dropping to me that so I saw one of the movie star, I think it was Ryan Reynolds, tweeted a picture. He's making fun of his friends, but I can't even find a way to say this on the air. What he posted on Instagram or whatever, you know, hey, these somethinging so-and-so's, you know, played a trick on me kind of thing. That was the post. These guys didn't tell me. And anyway, he was the butt of a practical joke. But what's the purpose in blasting out to society, blanking so-and-so's, you know, blah, 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 in good nature? What has happened to our society that, you know, I'm not like I have the cleanest mouth in the world. I am not someone who has never cussed or anything like that, although I should resolve to do it less. But
well,
in the halls of the Congress, I don't think it belongs.
No.
In public discourse, in the media, in social media that's blasted out to the universe, I don't think it belongs. I don't like to see it on bumper stickers where there are words I don't want to explain to a grade schooler. Right.
Well,
and yet we permit that. Meanwhile, as Dave Bourne showed me last week, gentleman gets harassed at his gym for wearing a Trump shirt. Right.
Right.
Oh, well, this is offensive. But
and they made him take it off.
Unbelievable.
At a gym that he was paying dues at.
Right. And so but you can say, you
but
know,
you
the
can,
F
but
word
you can call me all the names you want in the world because, you know, their speech is protected. But you can't wear a shirt that's your speech?
Right.
Come on. It's double standard.
And I'm hoping. And that's why I was happy to hear Tom Hoffert, our new CEO of the chamber, said, we're going to argue in our community. You know, they're going to fight for what they think is best for Salem.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it, Tom. Power to you. We're behind you.
Yeah, we are.
He says, our conversations are going to be inclusive and they're going to be civil. And we had a city council prior to Janet Taylor being elected in 2002. And where they would berate representatives of a neighborhood association if they didn't agree with their agenda.
What?
In public and like personally attack.
See, that's and not, this is that's coming from
the left side. It's coming from the left side where you have to be shouted down if you dare, you know. And so, and I talked about this last month, but it's not even possible to say, hey, I agree with the public policy of America in this area without getting, but Trump's a racist and Trump's a xenophobe and Trump's a sexist and Trump's a da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, but I agree with the public policy that Western Europe should be paying more for their defense. But Trump this, and you're an idiot, and you're a xenophobe, and you hate people. And it's like, what the heck, people?
You're not listening. I had a friend last night on Facebook ask the question. And he posted behind the picture of the poops, saying, how can you support the liar, and how do you continue to do so? And I said, okay, curiosity got the best of me. I said, what is he lying about? And he came back with two things. Tried to cover everything. He said, Dave, basically everything from the size of the crowd to knowing the generals. That's all. That's what he came back with. And I haven't answered yet because I'm not sure I want to open that can of worms. That's all you got? He's not lying about everything. Come on.
So cycling is back down to the Willamette Valley. I would like to see us talk to one another.
Yes.
Talk to us civilly and inclusively and not think because, I mean, honestly, sometimes as an elected leader, you need to follow.
Well, that's why you're elected.
Disagree with, and like in my example, you may not give a hoot about bike lanes or bike lanes downtown or traffic quietening on State Street.
Right.
Right. However, you need to listen to what the community wants.
Yes, right? That's their job.
Without throwing epithets. And the worst thing that I've seen happen in 15 years is this new wave of people getting elected to city council by telling people that you need them to protect you from the evil aspects of our community. I don't know any evil aspects of our community. I don't know any.
Right.
Right. Not that they're not criminals and what have you, but I don't know anybody who's actively, any organizations actively working to the detraction of quality of life in Salem. But they get elected and they vilify. And this happens on the national stage, and maybe that's where they learn the thing. You know, I want to focus on what's going on in Salem. If you're a Marion County commissioner, I want you to pay attention to Marion County. Right. I don't want you to pay attention to what's happening in Washington, D.C., and get involved in the polarization of that. Why don't we get down to the work of the region in Polk County, in Marion County? If it's independence, go for the best of independence. If it's Salem, hey, look after Salem. But don't pretend that because you're a volunteer city councilor in Marion County, Oregon, that you have something to say about whether or not we should be in Afghanistan.
And leave my straws alone.
Yeah. And leave my straws alone. At that, we're going to break real quick. We'll come up and wrap up on your noon hour here on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We were talking about civil discourse and reducing the amount of foul language and how prevailing it is in our society. We did get a caller who wants to weigh in. Diane, we've only got a few minutes, but give us your take on it.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up. I am thoroughly disgusted with the language that's going through our society. It's in the movies. It's on TV. I have a middle schooler that lives here, and it's unbelievable. I don't allow it in my house, but it's a challenge for these kids to come over to clean their mouth. And I'm at odds on what to do about it. I do let them know that in my house you don't use that language.
How do you enforce that?
I just let it know. And every time it's brought up, then I will mention it. No, we don't do that around here. And I don't want to be like a goody-goody two-shoes, but if it starts now it's going to get worse.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like if you have a standard for behavior and have a standard for language, you have a standard,
right.
Then you're shouted down. And I'm getting tired of everybody getting shouted down in America.
Yeah, me too.
And unless you're falling off the left edge.
Well, if they're this bad in middle school, then what's it going to be like? They get up to high school and then out into the workforce. And it's to me, it's out of control. It's way beyond to where it's going to come back.
Well, maybe on Monday I'll get in my soapbox. Thank you, Diane Warren, for that call. And and thank you for agreeing with us. We love that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get on my soapbox about the degradation of the language in itself on Monday. I was watching.
Yeah, you couldn't pay me enough to be a teacher right now because they can't. And they can't really force them to
speak teachers. You see some teachers that don't even have proper grammar themselves. And it's almost like in society we've gotten to a place where we can't speak proper English, nor can we leave out swear words and still be cool or still be hip or with it. So do we need popular? You almost sound ignorant and illiterate.
Sounds like the lack of respect is what it is.
Indeed. So one last comment, and I wanted to talk about this all week. Tom Brokaw had the comments about asking Latinos to learn English was just a piece of his comments. And again, they got shouted down. Again, it's perfectly reasonable advice. And if you missed it, Tom Brokaw said, hey, it would help, and both sides need to help, and the Latinos, Hispanics need to integrate and help integrate and fully engage in our society. Right?
Nothing wrong with that.
And
nothing
one of the things he said is, you know, learn English.
Yeah.
Right. Well, then, everyone went crazy. And, oh, he's so ignorant, and how dare he say something so hateful.
What?
He must be a xenophobe. We're talking about Tom Brokaw, please.
Right.
And here's the thing. What he said was good advice for any immigrant group going to any country in the world. It's just pragmatic.
Yeah.
If I decided to make my home Chile, do you think it's prudent for me to try to learn the language of the land?
Yeah.
What's the difference? If a Norwegian decides to make his new home in Egypt, don't you think he should make an effort to try to learn the language of the land?
Yeah.
Be able to read the newspapers, watch the news, discourse with people at the restaurant, everything. Isn't that
street
science? How are you? I firmly believe, and I would get hate. I'd probably get hate responses in social media for this, but I believe the best thing we can do for any immigrant group is to encourage them to learn English so they can fully participate in the social, the legal, and the economic opportunities of America.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can have a discussion about whether or not you can fully do that, but don't call me a hater. Don't call Tom Brokaw ignorant and a hatred, because it's good advice for people if you want them to fully engage. We had Marin Arriola on the show, and he is an advocate for Hispanics, and he believes that full immersion and being able to fully appreciate the American opportunity for immigrants, you need to become fluent in English. Nothing wrong with what you said, Tom Brokaw, and shame on you, Tom Brokaw, for not for going back and apologizing for it.
Yeah, nothing to apologize for.
It's just
for
pragmatic it. Advice.
Yeah.
So that's
Brent,
it for our week.
Have a good weekend.
Okay. Well, you too. We're going to see the mayor again next week. We're going to talk about downtown and Civic Center.
Go Patriots.
All right. Go Patriots. Newsmakers, 1430 KYK.
Glenn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.